Good morning, everybody. So I'm presenting on behalf of a team, and I think it's very important that I say this, that this is a very much a team effort. And most of the people who know me would realize that I'm not particularly strong in management. And this is obviously a project on change management, so this is why you really need a very, very strong team behind you. Just on a personal note, I just want to say that, I think just reflecting what Hazel was saying earlier on, I think we're all on a personal journey. I'm actually turning 60 this year, this week. So, and I'm very much, I think, in the age of risk. And I think that reflecting on what Hazel was saying, I think how important the narrative is really in terms of how we're going to change things. And we heard a very, very strong personal narrative here. And I think it's about the stories that people tell is really going to change our behavior. And there is so much bias, I think, among people like us as healthcare professionals in terms of how we deliver care to people with dementia. We think we're doing the right thing. We think we are person-centered. But in fact, we have such implicit bias. We have these blind spots. And I think it's really so important that we actually, as we heard this morning, put ourselves in the patient's shoes, in the person's shoes, in the person with dementia. I think it's only by doing that we really actually will change our behavior and our attitudes. And I think that, I hope that at the end of this project, DEMPATH, which is a journey, and it's a long journey, that we will actually be able to, as a staff in St. James's Hospital, put ourselves in the shoes of the person with dementia and better understand the experience. And I think if we do that, I think it will be a great success. So first of all, I would like to set the context for DEMPATH. And I think the first context is, of course, the acute hospital experience. Chaotic, disorienting, noisy, multiple room changes, trouble with communication, changes in the usual routine. And that is for people, even for people who are cognitively intact. But just imagine, you know, if you are somebody who's experiencing dementia, and the hospital has many, many people with dementia. About a quarter of people over the age of 65 in the hospital at the moment have dementia. Many of them don't actually carry a diagnosis of dementia. And if you just sum all the figures up together, about 50% of people over the age of 70 in the hospital, in St. James Hospital at the moment, have cognitive impairment, either dementia, mild cognitive impairment, or delirium. So the hospital is full of people with dementia. It's a very chaotic environment, very, very challenging for these individuals. And of course, we know from the Irish National Audit of Dementia Care and Acute Hospital 2014 that there's very little dementia training and awareness, poor design features for people with dementia, and no dementia care pathways in place. And again, this is the context around which we're trying to build out the DEMPATH program in St. James's Hospital. And St. James's Hospital is a very large hospital, the largest teaching hospital in Ireland, 1,000 beds, and we've over 3,500 staff. So it's a big challenge. So what is DEMPATH and what have we been trying to achieve? It's about improving the care journey and outcome for people with dementia at St. James's Hospital. And there are three pillars. We've got education, environment, and then creating an integrated care pathway. So these are three interacting pillars. And underpinning this is a project management team, Natalie Cole, Louise Murphy, who are actually trying to drive this change. So let me just first of all tell you about the first pillar, education. What's been happening? What are the challenges? And really, what are the strategies that we have been developing to try and deal with these challenges? Well, first of all, if you're trying to deliver training and education in a hospital of this size, given the structures that exist in terms of dementia care, you're very much reliant on the goodwill of many, many individuals. It's also a huge challenge to try and bring in people into the system to get buy-in from the key stakeholders. As I said, it's a very large hospital, and trying to produce a cultural change into the attitude towards people with dementia is a big task. And again, as was mentioned earlier, I mean, we are working at a time which is very challenging because there are huge staff shortages. And I think the survey that Anne-Marie Brady and her team carried out, certainly in our hospital, showed the number of staff down, particularly in nursing, in the different wards. I was actually quite taken aback by that when I saw it. Now, the strategies that we've been adopting to try and deal with the educational challenges at St. James's Hospital in terms of dementia awareness and education have been, first of all, we've pulled together the Centre for Learning and Development and the Dementia Service Information Development Centre. These are two learning organisations. One is national, one is local at St. James's Hospital. Pulling them together, pulling the leads together here in terms of delivering dementia training. We've carried out a number of focus groups with all the different stakeholders to inform the process. We've been consulting with the NPDU in nursing in terms of policy development, particularly around the area of antipsychotic use and policy around challenging behavior. We carried out an education needs analysis using these focus groups. And really, our approach has been twofold. We've been looking at targeted training, you know, at the point of care. Working with individual groups in the different departments, in the different disciplines, trying to deliver the dementia awareness and education. We've also had a level one foundation course, which has been incorporated into the induction for all new members of staff at St. James's Hospital. So everybody who comes to work in St. James's Hospital, doesn't matter who you are, whether you're patient-facing or non-patient-facing, you do get exposed now to a module on dementia awareness, which I think is quite novel. We've also developed a dementia facilitators course because this is really crucial to have champions and facilitators at the point of contact so that we can actually deliver not just the level one, but also level two awareness and training. And, you know, we've been focused on developing modules to bridge the gaps to the national programs. And this just shows you a number of the facilitators. A nice photograph here. We have over 50 facilitators now. And they've been building out different types of programs and initiatives. Things like patient passport in the ED, which picks up information from the families about the person with dementia. There have been small-scale design changes implemented by facilitators in their own wards. The facilitators are very, very important in terms of trying to embed training and education around the integrated care pathway, which I'll speak about in a moment. We've developed this Mealtimes and Me and the introduction of the Blue Crockery. Again, I think there's been big focus on nutrition in St. James's Hospital, and again, multidisciplinary teams from nutrition, social work, and catering getting involved, producing innovation, because this is a huge area, as we've heard from Hazel, in terms of how it's so easy to neglect the person with dementia, not realizing that they need special inputs and prompts. So where are we today in terms of the education pillar and what we've done? Almost 90% of the patient-facing staff at St. James's Hospital have had dementia awareness. Over 2,000 St. James's and community healthcare staff have been exposed to the training. We've had 600 attendees at dementia education days. And at the moment, we're creating online training materials in partnership between CLD and a group called Learning Pool, so that at the end of this project, all the modules at level one, level two that we've produced, all the learnings that we have will actually be an online resource and will be available to people so that this education and training can continue and can be facilitated into the future. Just here some of the comments in terms of the benefits people have found from the training and education: feeling energized, increasing confidence, increased support for initiatives undertaken in the wards. And again, this comes across clinical disciplines, but also areas like catering. Now let's just move to the second pillar, which is an enabler, which is the environment. And I mentioned the environment for people with dementia is quite chaotic, not particularly dementia-friendly. And we've done very significant work here in the whole area of trying to improve and enhance the environment for people with dementia. And really what we've done here, we can't change the whole of St. James's Hospital in one fell swoop. What we've done is we've tried to target different areas. And one area we've targeted, because we have friendly dementia leads in the emergency department, being very, very supportive, is to take a number of the ED bays, and we've transformed two bed bays, made them more private, adjusted lighting, there's fixed seating, There's some orientation today introduced. Better storage because it used to be very cluttered. And then also there's a changing of the color scheme to make it, I think, more dementia friendly. And this just shows you the evaluation of the staff in terms of how they found these improvements. And most of them found that they're, you know, that they rated changes as pretty good overall in terms of the changes that were implemented. And I think the feedback that we're getting from these bays, they're being used obviously on a daily basis, that it has been helpful in terms of management of people with dementia as they come through the ED. Just let me tell you a little bit about the signage. And again, this is a project really who's been our lead on the whole area of environment has been Matthew Gibb. And we actually commissioned design of new signage for the Mercer Centre for Successful Aging building. And this just shows you some of the examples of the signage, which is dementia friendly in terms of jumbo size floor directories, building level color coded, tilted floor directories. We combine just at eye level, you know, written words with pictures. This is, again, to help the person with dementia in terms of the wayfinding. And then using walls and pillars at key decision-making points. And then you can see, maybe perhaps it's too small there, but in fact, it's not small, actually, if you're in the Mercer's Institute for Successful Aging, where you see the memory clinic on the pillar. And we're very happy and very pleased. I think the feedback on these design elements have been very, very positive. And we also, Natalie Cole, project manager, has been working closely with facilities in St. James's Hospital. And on foot of this development, there are conversations going on in terms of how this type of approach, this signage, which is dementia-friendly, could be rolled out throughout the whole of the hospital in the future. And these are conversations that are ongoing at the moment, and we hope that they will be fruitful. There's also a project to change this Mercer's day room. This is Mercer's, was part of the Mercer's ward, a geriatric ward. And I love this, the wording here from Matthew. He's going to transform a drab, unloved space into a comfortable living area for patients. That's a wonderful turn of phrase. But again, it's going to be designated storage, seating position to encourage interaction, and this viewing garden. Looking out the window, you can see a viewing garden. So I think this will be a very, very positive change. Now let's just move on to finally to the integrated care pathway, which has been the most challenging, I think, of areas to produce this a real cultural change in the hospital. Obviously, integrated care pathways is meant to produce better outcomes for people with dementia, reduce length of stay, improve quality of care. But this is the area that, as I say, that has we've struggled the most with. I think we've made very significant developments. It's a work in progress, but it has been particularly challenging. So we started this work close to the beginning of the project. This was all part of the plan, and with a lot of input from advisory groups, but also from the different stakeholders. And the key part of developing the integrated care pathway was to develop a process map, or as is. What was the system? What did it look like at the moment? And then how could it be changed? How should it be changed in terms of the care journey for the person from the community through the ED, through the wards, and then back to the community and to home. So based on the developing of the process maps, we had pilot pathways and then trying to implement the full pathway. When we started this, it was a moonshot. And we said, we're going to really change the whole thing. We're going to really make this incredible. We had this plan, a grand plan. And I could show you this process map, the detail that Natalie and I went over, phenomenal detail. So we're going to change the world. We've quickly realized that this was not going to be possible. We had to really focus down on key areas. And that's really where we are at the moment. Let me just tell you what we found when we looked at the situation, you know, in St. James's in terms of the process mapping. No standardized screening in the ED at the time for dementia, for cognition. Ad hoc assessment for dementia around the hospital. Nobody was using cognitive instruments routinely. No cognitive screening routinely for delirium. Discharge letter had little or no information about dementia, so it was very poor communication out to the public health nurse or the general practitioner. A lot of duplication, multiple referrals for second opinion. And can you believe it? You could be admitted to any one of 43 wards if you came in with dementia to St. James's Hospital. But even more so, if you got to one ward, you'd be moved to another one, you'd be bumped onto another one as you are waiting for rehabilitation or discharge or a nursing home placement. So big challenges here. No end-to-end integrated care pathway for us to map onto in St. James's Hospital. There was a hip fracture pathway, but it wasn't end-to-end, and we really couldn't map onto that. Multiple journeys for the person with dementia. Very, very complex process. The other issue is that the IT system is quite disconnected. You know, so different system in ED, with wards, and of course we don't have IT in the community. And so a lot of disconnect. And again, you know, we're working with individuals extraordinarily stressed, short-staffed, busy, and trying to implement change in this type of environment is incredibly challenging. So this is the strategy that we took. We brought about design implementation of cognitive assessment using this 4AT, a simple screening tool, in the emergency department, but also for pre-admission elective surgical admissions, and now for post-operative surgical patients. We designed and tested the protocol for capturing this in the ED, and then tried to move that on to the acute medical assessment unit and into MedEl. We also designed and amended a discharge letter to capture the results from the ED and inpatient cognitive assessments, with the view to communicating this out to the general practitioner and the public health nurse, which is, this is crucial, actually, to make sure that we could close the circle. So this just shows you the 4AT, very simple, less than 2 minutes to complete, but much harder to implement and embed. So really, where are we at the moment? You know, if you look at the INED audit from 2014 for St. James's Hospital, again, the figures were not very positive. 80% of patients didn't get an assessment for delirium. 85% of patients' level of cognitive impairment is not recorded. 80% did not have symptoms of delirium summarized for discharge. Now, this month, 100% of people over 65% in ED have received the 4AT assessment, either in the ED and through into the AMAU within 24 hours. We're carrying out cognitive assessment and getting it done before discharge and documented on an amended discharge letter. The discharge letter has been changed to capture whether the person had delirium during the hospital stay. So I think these are very significant developments. However, this has to be policed and monitored, you know, on a daily basis, and has been done by our nurse lead, Louise Murphy. And if it doesn't, and if you don't have this level of monitoring, the concern is that this will all fall out. So this is where we are with the DemoPath journey in terms of identifying, assess, implementing care sets. We're beginning to implement care sets now in the ED for delirium, and then communicating out into primary care, and then educating both in the hospital and primary care. So we have this circular flow at the moment, but we really do need to push it ahead, push it on, and build it. So what are our next steps? And I think crucial, what's been mentioned already by Fiona, is sustainability. That's a big concern that we would have now. We have less than a year to go. How are we going to keep this going? How are we going to keep this energy going in St. James's Hospital? How we need continued measurement, continued training, and continued awareness and education. And this will require leadership and embedding within structures to derive and monitor improvements. And I think it will require some funding commitment. I can't leave this building without saying that you can't do this for peanuts. You need people and you need resources. So this is my leadership, my sort of change management, and I borrowed this from part of this from somebody working with in Global Brain Health Institute, who showed me this. I don't know if you see it. Who wants change? Everybody, hands up. Who wants to change, though? And then, who wants to lead the change? Now, that's really tricky, is getting people to lead change. That's what I found. However, I think we've been very lucky, and I think this has been a challenging project. But I tell you, we have found leaders in St. James's Hospital who have given up of their time for nothing because they really wanted to make a change. And so we have DemPath leaders, and I think we're going to rely very, very heavily on them. But they have to be supported. Many of them are here today. And it really is down to these people. You know, leaders aren't about having followers. Leaders are about being a leader. And I do believe we have those leaders, but we do need to support them And we do need a commitment, I think, to support these people into the future. And I'd just like to thank Ginio, but also the Dempath team. And I've listed everybody here. I see all of these as very much leaders who have really been incredibly supportive. And particularly, you know, part of our stakeholder inputs have been from families, caregivers, and from people with dementia. This is really, really crucial to the narrative. I want to particularly thank a few people, Natalie Cole, who's been on this journey, the Dempath journey, from the very, very beginning. Incredible energy, incredibly supportive. Louise Murphy has come on board more recently as a Dempath. It's crucial that we have a nurse lead here. It's not something we started with, but I think we really do need it. The DSIDC, Cecilia Craig and Mary Bell, really phenomenal in terms of training and education. Geraldine McMahon at ED. Matthew Gibb, I've already mentioned, you know, in terms of the design and the commitment and the slides. Thank you, Matthew. So, thank you very much.